Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
When a man spends 24 years of his life as the driving force of an internationally successful rock band, and then he leaves, well, you can just imagine how hard that might be to settle into something like normal life. For Peter Furler, it was actually impossible. Peter was the co-founder of the Newsboys, one of Australia's biggest music exports. He started as drummer back in 1985 when it was formed, then became lead vocalist. He wrote, produced and sang over 25 of their number one hits. Then in 2009, his season came to an end. He left the band and went quiet for a while, but now he's back with a solo album and stories to tell. Peter Furler, welcome to Open House.
Lee, thanks for having me on, mate. Appreciate it.
Great to talk. In 2009, can I go back then? What was it that brought you to that moment where you knew it was time to leave the band that you've been so much a part of for so many years? You helped found it all those years ago.
You know, it was really peaceful and amicable, you know, between myself and the guys, which was great. You know, we're all good mates. And it just, I think for me, it was the creative process, you know, in and out, day in, day out of obviously constant touring, non-stop touring, really, and not sleeping in your own bed for more than 10 nights in a row in 20 years and 20 plus years. And then when I was home, it was making the records, producing them, writing them, and the instrumentation and stuff. So I think it was really the creative process. I really felt to let that ground rest. You know, actually, I felt great in myself. I wasn't tired. I wasn't burnt out. Usually that's a bad time to make a decision like that. But, looking back, I really, and then obviously it was helping the lads make a transition to replace myself. And so, it was really just that. It was that creative process, realizing that, you know, God didn't make the horse to win at the races. You know, he made it to watch it run for his pleasure. So just making music for just the love of creating something out of nothing.
Yes. So when you step off that fast lane, what's it like when it happens? I mean, it's one thing to desire that quieter life and a more kind of creative life away from that frantic schedule. So what's it like when it happens?
It's brilliant. You know, for me, I think when I was with the Newsboys, everything was so planned out, and it had to be. You know, I mean, I could tell you, I could look at the calendar and say, yep, this time next year, I'll be in Moscow. You know what I mean? And so that's how planned out it was. But to step off that merry-go-round, it was kind of, I felt like John Lennon. You know what I mean? It was like you're just watching the wheels turn but it was from a distance, and it was the new adventure had begun. And the part of the adventure was not knowing what the future held. And that, to me, obviously was very exciting. To some, it would be horrific, but it wasn't to me.
Yes, that's good. So when you do step off, what did you start doing with your time?
Well, I kind of, I began to paint, and I began to get into sort of other creative endeavors. I didn't sort of step away from the songwriting per se. I stepped away from the singing and producing records for a while. I think that side of it, and obviously shows, but it was really what I didn't do was what made the difference. I only did my first concert in 2 years just recently in Australia, and so it was really just savoring the moments, like your mum tells you, stop and smell the roses. You know, I did a lot of that, a little surfing. You know, I moved into state. I moved from Nashville, Tennessee, down to Florida, because it felt more like the climate I was used to than the Sunshine Coast. So lots of big moves and really simplified my life. You know, I think that was a big thing. My wife and I, we had an RV, and we drove that around America, Mexico, and Canada for 18 months and did about 100,000-odd miles. And, you know, living in that square space, conserving water and just staying in camping grounds and caravan parks and stuff, was like, it really taught us to simplify. So when
yes.
we got back home, it was like, man, we just need to get rid of this stuff we've had to work to get, and we have to work to maintain.
What a pleasure. You mentioned your photos, your painting, which you can see on your website. That's obviously quite an important part of your life, a beautiful part of your life.
Yeah, well, thank you. I really enjoy it. I, you know, when I started out doing it, again, it was something I really felt it begin to affect my music because I just began to paint without a purpose except just to create something out of nothing. And really getting back to, you know, when we're kids, we make stuff, you know, but somehow that begins to take second place and third place and fourth place to when our lives begin to come at us and, you know, and the responsibilities that we have. But we're all creative people, all of us, you know. I mean, whether you're creating a meal or creating, you know, something for your kids at school or creating a business deal, whatever it is, or you're a musician or an artist, every single one of us have that in us.
Yes. Can I take you back over some of your more special memories with the Newsboys? You've performed everywhere from the Pentagon, you mentioned Moscow, Morocco, 15,000 Muslim people you performed in front of, to a New Age festival on the shores of Galilee in Israel. Tell us about that one.
That was brilliant, you know, to turn up and just, you know, we had the opportunity quite a bit that year to definitely head into some countries that were completely different than the West, and some of them the cultures thousands of years old, and Israel was definitely one of them. Brilliant people, you know, but to turn up at this festival, you know, we weren't well known in Israel and definitely weren't well known at this festival, and so it felt brilliant just to go in there and to kind of, you know, where a lot of the festivals in the US, you know, we were very well known, and so to kind of just sneak in the back door there and do what we do and to play on the shores of Galilee. And obviously, me, I'm a Christian, so it was a massive, you know, impact on my life, just, you know, knowing that Jesus had walked on these shores and just to see the spirit of the people there, you know, and a different culture, a culture where, you know, kids are serving in the army and you know, and mandatory, women and men, and living with life and death far more closer to them than what we do in our part of the world. And so, and also to be at a festival like that where there's no rules. I mean, it was Hinduism, Buddhism, nudism, Christianity. Well, we were the only kind of Christians there, and you know, and then obviously a lot of the you know, the Jewish folk, and but it was just brilliant. People just getting along, and music was uniting us.
Yes, as it does. Good on you for flying the flag. And there's no, as you say, there is really nothing like the experience of walking around that lake on the shores where Jesus walked himself.
No, I recommend it to anybody. I mean, you have to go to Israel. You know, it's life-changing when you go back then and read the scriptures, you know, the Bible and everything. It turns to 3D, you know, when you're reading about valleys and certain places and certain mountains. And then when you've stood there and seen it, when you've, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, you can go there and you see it, and you can, and it's only small, so you can imagine that the disciples were there at some point, and they were looking out, Jesus looking out over the city of Jerusalem, and just the culture that's there, it's life-changing.
Yes, 3D is a perfect way of putting it. When you left the band, it didn't stop your prolific songwriting, didn't it?
No, you know, I think my songwriting was never about the Newsboys. That's a gift that you kind of get, and it's up to you what you do with it. The Newsboys just happened to be the vehicle for that gift for many years. But so, you know, God gives gifts to all men, and it sort of, it just kept coming, and the songs kept coming. What I was to do with them, I didn't know, because I had no plans to make a solo record. I just didn't want to jump back into it. And so I had a good friend of mine, Steve Taylor, who I'd written over 100 songs with, a lot of them Newsboys songs, and he came around my house, and we had a coffee, and he was sort of saying, well, what are you going to do with these other songs you have? And I said, I don't know, well, let's finish them. But I actually challenged him. I said, you know, he's a great singer and a great solo artist himself and has been for years, and I challenged him and said, why don't you do something with them and you sing them and we'll finish them off? And so that was a great outlet for me to work for somebody else again and to sort of serve them and to get in the studio, and I went into the studio really just as a songwriter and as a drummer, and went in with a guy named Jimmy Abeg, legendary guitarist here in America, and John Painter, legendary producer and musician, bass player, and the four of us just went and created a whole nother record, and which is not out yet, hasn't been finished, but that really got my creative juices it was kind of like being back in Mooloolaba, you know, back forming a band again. It was very, no record deal, no management, no anything, except just the pure love of four guys making sounds and words and melodies that that they all agreed upon.
How wonderful. On Open House tonight, we're speaking with Peter Furler, Aussie, former member of the Newsboys, now out on his own with a new CD called On Fire. Peter, what are you saying in that title?
I think On Fire is, it's a freedom that's there. It's freedom from, you know, like I mentioned earlier, my wife and I really learning a new freedom of looking at all the things that are in your life that are directing you, that are pulling you in certain directions. Sometimes they can be false ideas. Sometimes they can be financial. Sometimes they can be anxieties. Sometimes they can be false ambitions. And looking at all them, and I think as a Christian, for me, it's definitely when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that everything's all right. It's, yes, we believe you're right between you and God, and your standing between you and God is there's a connection now that there wasn't before because of what Jesus did. Your spirits are connected, you know, but for some reason we seem, our bodies and our minds seem to stay the same, and sadly for some they just stay the same the rest of their lives and nothing much changes. Where to be on fire is when you begin to really not only hear what Jesus said, but you begin to do it, and all of a sudden this path begins to open up. So it's a narrow path and it is hard to find, but when you find it, there's a freedom in your spirit and a lot of it's practical, and so yes. Practical wisdom, and that to me has been really finding that and taking a day at a time, you know, and letting the Lord direct your steps as opposed to getting caught up in just the thorns and the thistles that are out there in our thinking and in other people's thinking.
What great wisdom, and you do feel the fire there. In the Newsboys, you were best known for that kind of big anthem pop sound with songs like Joy, Shine, In the Hands of God, Something Beautiful. Your new single, which we'll play in a moment, Reach, is another one of those huge kind of uplifting chorus hits. What is it about your personality or your faith or your outlook that makes you create that kind of sound?
I think for me, you know, the songwriting process is, I don't listen to a lot of music. And so mainly for the reason, so when I go in to write, I'm really hungry to hear something. And so I write something that I want to hear. And life is full of kind of ups and downs and different challenges that come. And sometimes that's a verse to me. But at the same time, I always find the light. I always find it. And because I look for it, I seek it out, I knock for it, and I ask for it. And so the chorus to me when that hits is the light. And I think I personally believe with what I do with songwriting is about, you know, the tongue has the power of life and death, and so to me, I want to sing about life, and so that always seems to make a melody soar.
I'm interested in your admission that you don't actually listen to much music.
Yeah, it's, I don't know why. I really did as a kid. You know, I listened to a ton of it. I grew up listening to the radio, and it had a huge influence on me. And music had a huge influence on me as a child. But I think once I begin to play it every night, for me, I know a lot of bands, they'll go and, you know, play a show and, you know, and then, you know, I'll hop on the tour bus and put music on or have headphones on. But for me, it was, I don't know, I felt like I was full. I'd go out and whether I was playing drums, I'd play till my fingers bled, or whether singing the show, by the time I finish the show, for some reason I love the quiet, I love nature, and I love the still of the morning, and I love the still of the night, and so that's my music.
Yes, I can understand. Your dad Bill features on one of the tracks, Greater Is He. Tell us about that experience.
That was you know, my father has you know, been a missionary and you know, and a preacher, you know, all of his life. And he's somebody that, you know, he even on my Facebook page now, I'll post these snippets every now and then. I call Church on the Beach, and he'll just roam down. You know, he's in his 70s now, and he'll rock down the beach and on the Sunshine Coast and film with his camera and sort of just share what's on his heart and just filming nature. And so I actually sampled one of them pieces, I'd written the song Greater Is He, and I just didn't have a bridge. I just didn't feel like I didn't know where it was going to go musically, and it just clicked to me. I'm going to get Dad, and you know, maybe even, hey, before he's gone, you know, I wanted him to sing on one of my records.
A wonderful, wonderful thought. You've enjoyed the quiet, and I'm sure that by the sound of it, it's been important for you. But now you're kind of back into it. You've been back out in Australia, appeared at a concert. How was that for you after the break of a couple of years?
It was great, you know, because I really got to savour it. It was, you know, I think before, for about 18 to 20 years at least, concerts were like headlights coming in the opposite direction, the very busy traffic.
Yes.
I actually really enjoyed it. I don't think, especially the last couple of years I was with the band, I don't think I had a moment I didn't enjoy. And I really enjoyed it. But this time to be in a position to watch them coming slowly over the horizon, those headlights, and just, oh, that's cool. Oh, there's one there. That's great. I'm gonna. And then so with even my first show in Australia, I really got to savour it. I got to kind of think about it more and just really enjoy that it was coming.
You didn't feel lonely up there or nervous, you know, first time out for a couple of years?
Yes, very nervous. My wife played keyboards for me, so that I wasn't lonely because we're great. We have a great partnership, and that was great. And Seth Mosley, who I co-produced On Fire with my new CD, he came with me as well, so that was help. And so, it was, you know, there was moments of I think basic stuff of. Can I still do it? Can I remember the chords?
Yes.
Is my voice going to blow out? I mean, we rehearsed, but that's different than when you're in front of a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when we rehearsed, I blew my voice out pretty quick. I was like, wow, man, wow. Okay. Because before it was very industrial, my voice, it could just keep going and going. And there was definitely a nervousness, but I think that, you know, but I put that aside, you know, at a certain point. I put that into a certain part of my brain and got on with it.
It's great that you're back. We're about to listen to your single, Reach. Tell us about that song. What inspired it?
Reach is just, you know, it's just that as a Christian, I believe it, and know because the Bible says it, that God is a personal God, you know, and he designed us. And, you know, and sometimes we don't come to him usually because of hardened hearts, you know, but if we open up our hearts, he has a plan for our life, and he's not only the creator, he's not just this mysterious God that we don't know nothing about. The Bible says if we want to know what he's like, look at Jesus, but he's reached out to us, you know, through Jesus. That's the greatest example, and he actually wants us to have a personal relationship with him and to know him.
It's a great title and a great sense of what you're trying to convey. I've thoroughly enjoyed our chat tonight, Peter Furler. Thanks very much indeed for sparing us the time.
Thank you, Lee, and I really appreciate what you're doing. It's brilliant.
And here is Reach.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.